Amen. Well, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Stay with me. Just grab your Bibles. Just hold them in your hand. Just wait a minute, devil speaks. Just let them know you mean business. Say this with me. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I am what it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
And I can have what it says I can have.
And I can have what it says I can have.
My Bible
contains
over 7,000
promises
from God to me,
telling me
who I am,
what I have,
and what I can do, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You may be seated. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I tell you, you know, I think only a preacher can appreciate a packed house. You know, because preachers want somebody to preach to.
Yeah.
And the bigger the crowd, you know, the more fun we have. But praise God. It just means a lot to me that so many of you have come out today. And the funny thing is, we could have had more out because Pastor Christie's nieces and nephew wanted to come today, but you know, we don't have the van capacity, so you guys, you really need to believe God with the leaders for that 15-passenger van. This is a serious thing.
Yes.
We can have we had to put out some chairs today. We had to put out some extra chairs and stuff. But that's a problem I like having.
Amen.
There's some problems I don't like. There's some problems I can live with.
Amen.
But having to find extra chairs, I can live with that.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You know, there's some nice problems you can have. And that's one of them. So, but we need to get that 15-passenger van so that Sister Lori can start driving and picking up people, so the pastor can be free to just come to church and spend more time and praying and along with the other leaders, and we can, you know, we as the leaders can feed you the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Because The early apostles wouldn't bother with certain things. You know, they wanted to spend that time in fasting, praying, and the Word of God. And, you know, pastor needs more time. You know, I spend a lot of time already, but it would be nice to have a Sunday morning where I could really just, you know, sit down and just meditate more.
Yes.
Praise God. But has the Word been good to you?
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. I'm just so glad to see Evangelist Mowbray back.
Amen.
I'm glad to see my dear sister Dee Dee here. I know she's, you know, Pastor Chris is claiming her as his daughter, but I keep stealing all his daughters from him. Ain't that right, Tracy?
Amen.
He told Tracy the other day, he said, I still got Lori. I've been trying to steal Lori, but she just keeps hanging on to Pastor. Amen. But I just appreciate you guys being here today. Amen. Glory to God. We went to visit Brother Tino yesterday and just had a glorious time. And once again, the brother's just so anxious to get out and to help to build up the work. Praise God. Just always talking about his wife Ann. Brother seems to be in love. I can see the sparkle in his eye every time you mention the name Ann. Praise God. Amen. Y'all, Tino's you're going to see him. He's a big strong brother, you know, big stocky dude. Amen. So, but praise God. Let's go ahead and get into this word. We've been talking about forgiveness,
yes,
the key to victory, for the past several weeks. I have to learn to look at y'all. You know, Pastor Christie got on my case the other day, rightfully so. I'm kind of shy, you know, from a natural standpoint, and God is working on me. So, you know, if I look at you, if I'm staring, it's because I'm trying to overcome. And we shall overcome someday. Amen. But praise God, we've been talking about forgiveness, which is the key to victory. As I said, the Bible talks about many things that leads to victory. But not one of them will ever work unless you learn to walk in love and walk in forgiveness towards one another.
Yeah.
And this is very important, because in this world, people are going to do things to offend you.
Yeah.
Yes.
They're going to do things to hurt you. People in this very church are going to do things to hurt you. We're already growing, as you can see, and you know we got. And you're going to see we all got different personalities.
Yeah.
You know, and I forgot to acknowledge Lynn and Tommy. God bless you two for being here. We really appreciate you guys being here.
Amen.
Pam, what you looking at? I love you too. And Paul gave his life to Christ last Friday.
Amen.
It was just a glorious moment.
Yes,
praise God.
Amen.
That's why you should be thankful for Operation Eye Care, because the work is bringing in people who don't know the Lord, and when they come in and they see the love.
Yes.
And they see what God is doing, then they receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
Yes.
Thank God for Operation I Care. This is why we're having our missions offerings, because we need to support ministries like that, as well as evangelistic ministries like Feed My Sheep and overseas ministries.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor's not taking your money.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor is wanting to use the money to support ministries that are bringing people to Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's the fruit I want to see. Glory to God. Now, as we were saying, forgiveness is the key to victory, and people are going to offend you. You see, we're growing, and we got different personalities, and every once in a while, somebody's going to rub you the wrong way.
Amen.
You've got to make up your mind right now. I am going to forgive no matter what somebody does to me.
Amen.
Now, and forgiveness, as I've told you many times, is not an emotion.
Right.
You can't base your forgiving of someone on emotion. You've got to make a quality decision that I will forgive no matter what the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that is what I did over 20-something years ago. I made a quality decision that I will forgive any wrong that's done to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what? When you make that quality decision, you will be tried. Say that with me. Say, when I make that quality decision, I will be tried. So you better get ready. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I have been tried. Just ask me. Say, Pastor Troy, you've been tried. Oh my God, have I been tried? Why have I been tried? I have been tried, let me tell you. When I made that quality decision, it seemed like all the demons had a council, and they said, let's see if he'll really do that.
Yes.
I tell you, it's been hard.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, I have walked in victory.
Amen.
I am able to forgive no matter what the wrong is.
Amen, my brother. God bless.
There have been a couple of times I've stewed it over for days, but... But I've gotten to the point where I can forgive. Amen. And you've got to get to that point too. Now, we learned what forgiveness was. We learned that it's releasing someone from a debt.
Yes.
We learned that you can't expect God to forgive you unless you forgive that person, because all of us are indebted to God.
Yes.
We have sinned and we've come short of God's glory.
Yes.
And so we owe God a big fat debt. And Jesus Christ died on our behalf so he can repay the debt for us. Nonetheless, he requires that you forgive in order for him to forgive you. If you do not release someone from your debt, because compare the debt that somebody owes you compared to what you owe God is nothing. So if you don't release someone from that debt, then God will not release you from the debt you owe him. And he will make sure that you pay in full. Now, why does God require that? I don't know. It's not my business. All I know is I have to obey him. If he said in order for me to receive forgiveness, I have to forgive, since I know I'm in need of his forgiveness on a daily basis, I have learned I better start forgiving others.
Amen.
Glory to God. Now, that doesn't give you license to go out and do things to people.
Right.
But I know he's going to forgive me no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You might get slapped first, though. I'm just kidding. But we also learned that there are certain benefits accrued from your forgiving, because if you forgive and God is able to forgive you, then he's able to do certain things for you. For example, he will answer prayer.
When you ask. When you ask, you will receive, because God, there's nothing standing and blocking God's willingness to give you. Yeah, it's blessing. There's nothing blocking you from receiving what God has made available to you. So we looked at several scriptures on that. We also looked at the fact that you can receive divine healing in your body as well as your emotions if you learn to forgive people.
Amen.
You see, the reason why some of us are sick in the body today, and we're going to be praying for people, you know, because some of you have mentioned that you need prayer for healing today, and we're going to pray for you after the message is over. But the reason why some of you are sick, it could be a forgiveness issue. I don't know that unless the Spirit of God tells me and points and, you know, gives me a word of knowledge. God does do those things today, amen?
Yeah.
We're going to see more of them in this church, amen?
Amen?
But unless God gives me a word of knowledge, I won't know that for sure. But you will know that, and He will reveal that to you. He will reveal who you are, who you have ought against. You release that person, and I guarantee you that God will work miraculously in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Now, another thing unforgiveness will do is open the door for the devil to attack you in your life. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6. We've looked at this chapter before. We're going to be going over scriptures we looked at before, but you're going to see different things. I need to show you different things in the same scriptures, because we're dealing with different subjects, in a sense, within the subject. See, right now, I want to whet your appetite and show you the benefits that you accrue from forgiving. But we're also going to get into some practical application. I'm going to be talking to you from the Bible, showing you how you can walk in this very thing that I'm teaching you. But the first thing I want you to do is see why forgiving others is important. It's taking me several weeks, but I will go with the flow as the Spirit of God leads. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's look at Matthew chapter 6. Now, we're going to be looking at what is called the Lord's Prayer. Or some people like to call it the Disciples' Prayer. Whatever it is, it was Jesus' instructions to you and I, giving us practical steps on how we can approach God and different principles of what we can say. You know, we start off, hallowed be thy name. We start off by acknowledging the name of the Lord, worshiping Him, glorifying Him, reminding ourselves and acknowledging to Him how holy He is, you know. And then we ask Him to establish His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. See, God wants His will to be done on earth, but He's expecting you and I to pray for His will to be done. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. His will does not often get done because many of His people fail to pray.
Yes.
So we need to be praying. Pastor Christick taught us from Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, at the Operation I Care some months ago, about the that God had desired to not bring judgment upon Israel. But because He couldn't find a man to stand in the gap, He had to bring the judgment. It wasn't His will to bring judgment. He had to bring it because nobody was standing the gap. So God wants His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, and He wants you to pray that.
Yes.
And then we go down to verse 13, and I want you to see verses 13 and 14. I want you to see how these two particular verses in this chapter are interconnected. The whole prayer is connected. You can't have one thing without the other. But I especially want you to see verses 13 and 14. It says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, in the Greek, I am told, I'm not a Greek scholar, but I've read numerous Greek scholars, and I've read several different translations of the Bible. And they tell me that this word evil should be actually translated evil one.
Yes, that's what I have.
There is only one evil one, and he has several minions working for him. But when the Bible talks about the evil one, who is that usually talking about?
Satan.
Satan. Or as my daughter Trisha would say, the devil. The devil. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
As a matter of fact, I like the way the message is a paraphrase. It's not a translation, but I like it anyway. So forgive me for reading the Message Bible. But it says the message Bible by Eugene Peterson says, keep us safe from ourselves and the devil.
Amen.
Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're a blazing beauty. Yes, yes, yes. I like that. But he says, keep us from ourselves and the devil. That's basically what temptation is all about. It's you and the devil. It's not God. But lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And let me explain something here. Because people, you know, get a little confused when it says, well, wait a minute. Why are we asking God to lead us not into temptation? Does God lead us into temptation? Well, according to some scholars, I'm giving you a little bit of technical information, but I think it's going to help you. According to some scholars, that is what is called a Hebraism. Say that word with me. Say Hebraism.
Hebraism.
Okay, you can forget about it now. But basically what a Hebraism is because of the poverty of the Hebrew language. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew and Aramaic, and a New Testament is written in Greek. The New Testament is written in Greek and Aramaic, and the Old Testament was written in Hebrew. Well, the Hebrew is not rich in language like the Greek and the English. And so they weren't able to explain certain things. Matter of fact, Adam Clark writes this. Adam Clark, he was a Hebrew and Greek scholar, and he wrote this in his commentary. He said, the word, when it talks about lead us not into temptation, the word not only implies violent assaults from Satan, but also sorely afflictive circumstances, none of which we have as yet grace or fortitude sufficient to bear. Wow, some big words. Anyway, let's get to the main point. Bring us not in, or lead us not in. This is a mere Hebraism. God is said to do something, or to do a thing which he only permits or suffers to be done. That's what a Hebraism is. It's, you know, sometimes you read in the Bible where God did something, and you say, wait a minute. Why would God do that when he's supposed to be holy and righteous? It's not necessarily God doing it, but if you read in the Hebrew, it's really God permitting it or allowing it. And that's what Adam Clark is trying to explain to us. As a matter of fact, another Hebrew scholar wrote this. He said, what is a Hebraism? On this subject also, Dr. Thomas Pierce, one of the most learned theologians of a learned age, has observed, when God is said to harden men's hearts, to deliver them up to a reprobate mind, to send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie and the like, it is infinitely far from being meant of an efficacious impulse in God Almighty. Basically, it's just saying God ain't the one necessarily doing it of his own.
Right.
What he's saying is that all those verbs, to harden, to blind, to deliver up, to send delusions, to deceive, and the like, are by ordinary Hebraism only permissive in signification, though active in sound, is placed without all controversy. Basically, what it's saying is that God permits certain things. And what we're praying here, when we say lead us not into temptation, we're not saying, well, God is the one who brings us into temptation, because that would be in contradiction with James chapter 1, verse 13, which says that God does not tempt any man.
Yep.
Neither can he be tempted. So God does not tempt. And he does not lead into temptation. But what he does is permit temptation to come our way. And so what we're praying, we're asking God to not allow this to happen to us. Not allow the devil to have his way, to be able to bring his assaults and destroy us. That's what you're praying when you're saying, lead us not into temptation. Do you see a new light in the Lord's Prayer now? Do you see now how effective praying is in overcoming your enemy? So if Satan's been having a field day with you, then you need to start praying the Lord's Prayer, or praying the principles within the Lord's Prayer, and recognizing that only through prayer, only through fellowship with your Father, can you overcome the devil and the temptations he throws at you. Amen. The assaults that he throws at you. But it ain't going to work without a forgiveness.
Let's read that. It says, and lead us not into temptation, or basically don't allow us to be tempted, but deliver us from Satan, or the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. But verse 12 says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So it goes together. You can't divorce verse 12 from verse 13. And then 14, it goes right back into forgiveness again.
Yes.
So your victory over the devil is sandwiched in between two verses that talk about forgiveness.
Yes.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
Verse 14 says, but if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, guess what? Neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So your deliverance from the evil one, your deliverance and your victory over the devil is subjected to your forgiveness of people who've done you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why many people are in bondage today is due to their unwillingness to forgive those who have hurt them. I was reading a story last week about, and it was over a week ago, so I can't remember the full story, but I do have a general idea. But one man was trying to pray for a woman's healing, and you know he recognized that the source of her sickness was demonic, so he's trying to cast a demon out of her. He's commanding the demon to go, and the demon speaks and says, "I have every right to stay with her."
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Why?" And the demon said, "Because she's in unforgiveness, so I have a right to stay here." And the demon was right. Was nothing he could do. He could not cast that devil off that woman because the woman refused to forgive the person that hurt her. And so when you fail to forgive people, then God cannot deliver you from the evil one. Because you are in forgiveness, therefore he can't forgive you, and therefore Satan has rights to you. So if you want Satan not to have rights to you, then you need to break his hold over you. Now, let me give you just a little bit more technical information. This will be the last piece of technical information I'm going to give you, okay? All right. Sometimes you just need a little bit of that. We are a teaching ministry. Now, where it says, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. In the Greek, it is presupposed that you have already made up your mind to forgive, and you have already forgiven before you even come to God in prayer. According to A.B. Simpson, one of my favorite Bible teachers of long, long ago, he wrote this. This petition presupposes a very solemn spirit of forgiveness in the heart of the suppliant. This is indispensable to the acceptance of the prayer for forgiveness. The Greek construction and the use of the aorist tense expresses a very practical shade of meaning. Namely, oh, don't you yawn on me. No. That the forgiveness of the injury that has been done to us has preceded our prayer for divine forgiveness. Freely translated, it should be thus expressed. Forgive us our trespasses as we have already forgiven them that trespass against us. That's what it means. That's the way it's supposed to read in the Greek. Forgive us our trespasses as we have already forgiven them that trespass against us.
Amen.
So you are to, before you can even ask God to give you victory over the devil in your life, you have to have already predisposed in your mind and in your heart that I have forgiven Joey the Lupus for whatever he did to me.
Mm-hmm.
Or Aunt Lucy Girl for that, for stealing my sweet potato pie. You just got to be predisposed to forgive people if you truly want to walk in the victory that God has for you over the devil. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. God will bring you deliverance.
Yes, he will.
But you've got to do it his way. God wants to answer your prayers, but you've got to do it his way. God wants to heal bodies, But you got to do it his way. If we're not getting the benefits of God's word, then we will not be able to blame God. We have to always look to us and see what is going on in my life. Now, a lot of people want to blame the sovereignty of God for certain situations that they are in. Now, I believe in the sovereignty of God. God is the ruler of all the universe, and he can do what he likes. But you can't go blaming God for, you can't go talking about God's sovereignty and using that as an excuse and not doing an inventory on your own life. And looking at, hey, maybe I'm not receiving because I am not doing certain things that God has told me. See, people get lazy when they get religious. They substitute religion for self-inventory. The Bible says, judge not, examine yourself. And you, those who examine themselves will not be examined. Or those who judge themselves will not be judged. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. You can write if you're taking notes. Are you in Ephesians yet?
Yes.
All right. Let's begin at verse 26.
What chapter?
I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 4. Begin at verse 26. It says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. God never says don't be angry. There's things to be angry about. If somebody does you wrong, it's okay to be angry. Somebody did something wrong to your family, it's okay to be angry. But the Bible goes on to say, don't sin. In other words, whenever Pastor Christic makes me mad, I ain't supposed to go just slap him. I know sometimes he just wants to slap me. But praise God.
Amen.
You are not to let the sun go down on your wrath. That means by even time, you better have gotten the strength. Amen. Neither give place to the devil. Say that with me. Say, neither,
neither
give place,
place
to the devil.
To the devil.
You see, if you're angry and you open up the door for sin, you don't forgive people, then you are giving place to the devil.
Amen.
You are giving him a foothold in your life. That's what the original Greek is saying. It's basically saying, don't give the devil a foothold. You open the door for the devil in your life if you don't obey God. Verse 28 says, let him that stole steal no more. Tithe, people who ain't tithing. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth.
Yeah.
And let me point out right there, if you ain't got nothing to give, then you can't help nobody. Amen?
Amen.
That's why we emphasize a balanced prosperity message so that you can have, so that you'll be able to give to him that need it. But the prosperity message we all emphasize here is not, you know, sit around and make a confession and I believe God for $1 million. No. The Bible says to work.
Yes.
Work. Get off your lazy, blessed assurance. They work. And God will bless the work of your hands, and then you can give to him that needeth. We need a van.
Amen.
So y'all need to get off your blessed assurance, work, and give to the van fund.
Amen.
Praise the name of Jesus. We need a new building. Glory to God. We're growing. We need a new place to worship already.
Yes.
Amen. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers.
Amen.
And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, say let all bitterness.
All bitterness.
All bitterness, because unforgiveness leads towards bitterness.
Yes.
This is why so many people have arthritis. You talk to some people that got arthritis, and some of them are the craziest people, always talking about something that happened 20, 30 years ago. You know? He just did me wrong 30 years ago. I just hate him.
and can't even open up a bottle, a can of mayonnaise. Let it go.
Amen.
Let it go, glory to God. He obviously don't care. You stop caring. Give it to God and let it go and be healed in Jesus' name. But that's what bitterness does. And wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
Yes.
The equivalency of which God has forgiven you, you must forgive others.
Mm-hmm.
Our Lord Jesus was spat upon, beard pulled out, subjected to the beat. Now this is God Almighty here. We're talking about. We're not talking about just some ordinary man. This is a God Almighty who could have called upon a legion of angels to stop this from happening to him. Yet he took it for you and me. He was spat upon, beard pulled out, beaten, mocked, crown of thorns, thick thorns, thrashed on his head. And let me tell you something about those whips. From what I was told, in those whips were glass and rocks. And they would get a strong, muscular Roman soldier, and he would well back, and them glass and rocks would get stuck in your back, and he'd pull it out. And of course, skin and bone is going to go with it, and muscle. And the Lord took that about 30 times. And on top of that, he was made to carry this big, heavy cross. Thank God for somebody who came and helped him. But he was made to carry the instrument of his death. And then they laid him down and put these big, fat nails in his hands. Stripped him naked. And put, trying to shame him. Don't believe the beautiful pictures that you see where he's looking all nice, blonde, and blue-eyed, and handsome. Our Lord suffered, man. They took big nails and put them in his hands. And put them in his feet. Nailed him to that cross. And held him up. And had him sitting there for 6 hours. And do you know how difficult that is? You can barely breathe. You can't even sit down. And he's doing that for 6 hours. And they're mocking him and jeering him. Oh, you're the Son of God. Won't you come on down? Sound like some Bob Barker imitation. Come on down. But you know what? Our Lord, after all of that, said, Father, forgive them.
Hallelujah.
They know not what they do.
Amen.
Our Lord, going through all of that, still said, Father, forgive them. Now, if that had been me and you, we would have been cussing to our last dying breath.
Yeah.
You cursing son of a...
Yeah.
I hate all of you! But our Lord and Savior said, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. All that suffering he went through. And so Jesus expects you. Jesus, who is Almighty God, says, forgive one another in the same capacity in which God has forgiven you. Because you and I, our sin is what put him on that cross in the first place. Oh, glory to God. But you know what? If you fail to do all of that, we go right back to verse 27. It says, neither give place to the devil. Your victory over Satan, your ability to close the door in the devil's face, is commensurate with your forgiving of one another.
Amen.
And the same capacity in which God has forgiven you and me. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Are you getting anything out of this?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. We're going to look at a couple more passages. I don't want to keep you too much longer. But as long as you're getting something out of it, maybe we can go another hour. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Let's go back to Matthew. Mm-hmm.
You see, I want, it is my desire and the desire of the other leaders here for you to walk in complete victory over everything that's in your life. You see, because God has need of thee for mission work. God, and we're not talking about, not everybody's called to go overseas, not everybody's called to go to Africa, India, Japan. My wife is saying, if y'all feel led of God to send her to Japan, she's willing to go as a missionary. If my wife goes, I'm going too. So, so Pastor Christian.
Praise God.
But God has need of you to work in missions. What does missions like Operation Eye Care or as Sister Lynn was saying, going to the prison, to Central Falls Prison? I think that's a wonderful idea. How about y'all? We need to go to untouched territory, unconquered territory. And if there's nobody going to that prison, then Victoria's Word will make our way in there.
Amen.
That's one of the things I've been praying about with prison ministry. They tell me that the ACI is already so many people, so many ministers going there. So I thank God there's another prison around here I can find. I might be able to find our way into.
Amen.
Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Somebody say glory.
Glory.
But see, not glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory. We got to teach Louis. Glory. Amen. Louis still a baby in Christ. He's only been saved a couple of months now. So y'all have mercy on him. All right. Praise God. But this is wonderful. We got so many people here who just come to know Christ as their Savior. Amen. And that's one of the most wonderful parts about building the ministry is that you're not stealing sheep, but you're actually bringing sheep by birth into the kingdom. Amen. Praise God. That's why I thank God for the partnership we have with other ministries, especially Operation Eye Care and how the Lord has just used Pastor Christie to raise up that ministry. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But anyway, are you at Matthew 18 yet? So God has need of you, and he wants you to work in different capacities, but he can't use you if you got the devil working all in your life, beating up all on you. I know how it is. I've been there. Let me tell you something. Your pastor ain't telling you nothing that he ain't been through himself.
Amen.
I've been there. I know what it's like to be depressed.
Amen.
Oh my God, I know what it's like. I know what it's like to be pained. Been there, done that. Got several t-shirts to show you. You talking about if anybody could have gotten an award for being an introverted, depressed person, I'm one of them. But thank God, God delivered me.
Amen.
And he can do the same for you.
Amen.
Matter of fact, I was a champion complainer. Boy, I could complain. You did not want. Well, Taka's laughing. She knows I'm right. She had to marry this dude. And she had to listen to his whining and complaining all the time. Still, sometimes she has. God is working on me. I'm much better than I was before, though. Praise God. But I was a champion complainer. I know. You know, and that's what depression does to you. I know what it's like. I know what y'all going through. So if I get on your case sometimes, you know, like if I rebuke you or whatever because of your grouchiness or whatever, you know, it's not because I don't love you. It's not because I don't understand. I understand. But I also know you can overcome it.
Yeah.
I know you can have victory over it.
Praise God.
And the first thing you got to do is forgive people.
Yes.
The person you forgive, you won't complain about. You won't complain about anybody you feel already forgiven.
Amen.
Now are you there at Matthew?
Amen.
I finally made it there too. Alright, let's look at verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? I like Peter, boy. Me and Peter, we so much alike. I can identify more with Peter than Paul. Because Paul, he was just a great man of God. Peter, me and him, we be messing up big time. Peter said seven times. Peter was like, yeah, if all I got off, you on your fifth one. Two more. Two more, and I'm going to tie you up. But Jesus said, "Until I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Now that's about 490 times. Some of y'all still be keeping count. Okay. That's 488. You got two more. I waited a long time for this one. No. Some of y'all be doing multiplication. I'm going to go by tens. 10, 20, 30. No, but what Jesus was saying, he wasn't necessarily giving you a number of times to forgive people. He was saying, he was basically giving an absurd number, basically trying to tell you it's an unlimited amount of times that you must forgive. And then he goes into this parable. He says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, thank God, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him. Mm-hmm. Now, he wasn't doing this.
No.
Father bless him.
No,
he was like, hurt! Yeah. Now, George is a big brother, so I'm careful here. Yeah. He laid hands on his brother. He took him by the throat. And he took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Mm-hmm. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Mm. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told their Lord all that was done. Mm-hmm. Then his Lord, after that, he called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentor. Say that with me. Say, he delivered him to the tormentor till he should pay all that was due unto him. And verse 35 is very solemn and very sobering. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. That's talking about you and me.
Yeah.
If ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother this trespass. Yeah. If you do not forgive your brother or your sister for their trespass, God will deliver you over to the torment, the devil and the demons and Satan. They are the tormentors. And they just waiting. They're just itching. That's why they send people. Don't you know who the devil is? The devil that's going out there trying to send people against you, whispering in their ear. See, you got to see who is behind the problem. You can't look at the person. Here's a secret. If you begin to see the evil spirit behind the person, then you won't be so mad at the person. You'll be mad at the right person, which is Satan. I remember some years ago, when I was in the military, I had this young lady that worked for me, and she was just mean. One day she just became mean to me, and I didn't understand what was going on, because usually, you know, we got along okay and everything, and you know, she thought I was a good supervisor. But one day she just started acting mean and saying nasty stuff to me, and you know, it started getting me frustrated. I was ready to write her up and have a stripe snatched from her, because I had that authority. Yeah. But I didn't, you know, as a Christian, I really didn't want to do that. You know, because I wanted to set an example of love and forgiveness, but this was getting tough on me. So one day, you know, one day I go home for lunch, you know, just, you know, because I went home for lunch because my house was very close to where I worked at, and just began to pray. And I said, Lord, what's going on with this young lady? Why is she doing this? And the Lord spoke this very simple word. He said, deal with the spirit behind her. And so I said, all right. I said, you evil spirit, in the name of Jesus that's using it, and I mentioned her name. I said, I command you to stop your activities against me and stop using her in the name of Jesus. And I command you to go. When I got back to work, she had a completely different attitude. She started being nice again. You know, I'm like, wow. What? I said, the Lord, his word works. God's giving you authority over the devil. So you've got to deal with the evil spirit behind the person. It doesn't always work that instantly. I like to give you all my instant testimony. You know, I don't want to give you all. But I remember almost a similar situation happened a few years later to another person. Me and him, you know, we both worked in the sound department of the church where we were attending at the time. And, you know, he was going through some things at his job. And, you know, he was dealing with racism. He said, Troy, he said, you know, because he's African American just like me. And he's like, Troy, they're being racist. And, you know, they treat me so bad. And at first, I'm joining with him. I said, yeah, I know how it is, man. I know what they did this to me and that to me. And then the Lord rebuked me. He caught me right in the middle of my joining him and whining and complaining. And the Lord said, I sent that man over to help you. And all you're doing is joining in with him in his pain. And I had to say, oh my God. I said, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. And then I turned around and said, I said, James, I'm sorry. I said, I shouldn't be sitting here relating all my horror stories with you. I said, I should be praying with you. So I grabbed his hand and we began to pray. And then I said, I rebuke that spirit of racism on his job. I rebuke the persecution. I command those evil spirits to leave in the name of Jesus. The next week, we were working together again on the sound ministry. And he said, Troy, he said, man, everything has changed in my office. He said, they are just being kind to me now and treating me right and everything. I said, well, praise the name of the Lord. See, but we did not deal with the people. We learned to deal with the evil spirits behind the people. Now, you know, of course you got to be led by the Lord, because it's not always about just rebuking evil spirits.
Right.
Sometimes God may tell you to bake some cookies and give it to that person. I've heard God tell people to do that. God may tell you to just give them a hug. Just give them an email. Just send them an email. God may sometimes tell you to walk up to them and just say, listen, I don't know what I did to make you so upset, but I apologize. And then they'll start crying and confessing. No, it wasn't you. It was just me. I was jealous of you or whatever have you.
Amen.
Yeah, you know, things like that may happen. Whatever it is, whatever you do, know this. You are overcoming the devil. You are destroying the devil's work in a person's life. No matter however God leads you, you are destroying the devil's work, and you are destroying evil spirits and sending them back to the hell pit where they belong. Amen. But you got to recognize the evil spirit behind what people are doing. And that way, you're able to forgive people, and God will give you victory over the devil in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Stand to your feet. Did you get anything out of this today?
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm so glad to hear that.